And we're live. Hey, I'm Walt, and although not as good looking as Mike Lafferty, I'm going to fake my very best. And this is the Banff Podcast. Today we're joined by frequent co-host, Mr. Aid Smith. How are you,
Hello.
sir?
I'm good. It's a bit warm, but I'm good.
What's warm in England?
25 degrees.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad.
Not great, but it's warm enough. It's
And
not
today,
raining, so.
wait,
yeah.
wait, wait, wait. Is that Celsius or Fahrenheit?
Celsius?
Celsius. Yeah,
We have a thing in
I
Sorry,
see.
just we have a thing in the UK. We go warm if it's one, and then use the other one for it's cold, so it sounds better. So, oh, it's minus 5 today. Oh, it's terrible, and it's like, oh, it's 37. So yeah, that's the way we do things. Anyway.
Wait, so you guys jump back and forth between the
Yes.
English and the metric?
Oh
That's
hell yeah! It
oh
sounds much
gosh.
better when you say minus. It was minus 10 today. It's terrible. Yeah.
And today we're talking to comics renaissance man, dog lover, and all-around great guy, Mr. Vito Del Sante. How are you, sir?
Hello.
Awesome. And today we're celebrating the launch of the Stray Kickstarter. Can you tell us, give us, for those who don't know, which, must be living under a rock or something, can you tell us about a little bit about Stray and what led to this Kickstarter?
Sure. Stray is the story of Rodney Weller, who is the former sidekick of the Doberman. His father is the Doberman. I just totally gave my spoiler alert early. I was going to hold that off. But his mentor is called the Doberman. It ends up being his father. Not it ends up being his father. Man, I can't pitch this book anymore. His father, the Doberman, is his mentor, and he eventually gets murdered. And that brings Rodney back into the world of capes and masks after quitting for 5 years. They had a disagreement. He quit. He was 15 years old. He's now about 19, going on 20, and he has solved the murder of his father. And now it's what's next. Who is this kid, and what is he going to be? So we had him go through Actionverse, which was a mini series done by Action Lab Entertainment. It was technically a 6-issue miniseries, but if you include issue zero, it's a 7-issue miniseries. And what happened in Actionverse was the first issue was basically setting up the world. Who is in the Actionverse? And that's Molly Danger by Jamal Igel, Midnight Tiger by Ray Anthony Hype, and Stray by Sean and I. So we basically established the Trinity, if you want to call it that, of what makes the Actionverse tick. And then the miniseries, the 6-issue miniseries, was basically about this cosmic threat that comes to our world. That is in the shape of a man who wants revenge against a superhero whose world he can't get to. And it's what does he do in the process to get to that world? So at the end of that, Stray kind of feels like I'm not really set up to, not even set up, I'm not even equipped personally and emotionally to fight cosmic threats, to take on Galactus per se, or even Doctor Doom, if you want a better parallel. What he is equipped to do is to help people, to kind of fight the kind of street level crime that people would expect from a guy who dresses like a dog and has a billy club that looks like a bone. So
Which is
that's
awesome.
thank you. That's what he sets out to do. And unfortunately, it's very much still with the theme of identity, him trying to find out who he is in this new world that he's in. It's also about him choosing his path still, like the first series was. But more so than the last miniseries, this miniseries is about him not realizing that you can't change fate. The universe has a kind of a course of action for you. Judeo-Christianity would say that God has a plan, and no matter what you try to do, that plan is still going to happen. It's very much like the path of a river. Like somehow or other, the river knows how to get to the ocean. You might divert it some way or another way and stuff, but it will still get to the ocean at some point. So that's basically what we're doing with him now, is just saying that, starting with the first mini arc called The Rottweiler Years, we're going to look at how his past is kind of coming back to haunt him in the new age that he has kind of created for himself, the new world that he's created for himself. We're tackling a very difficult subject that it's really hard to talk about. Just in the past 24 hours, I don't want to date the show or anything like that, but in the past 24 hours, we've had two men killed by police officers. It's a really hard thing to watch, you know. And, you know, I remember watching, I don't know how I got the video, but I saw the video of Daniel Pearl being executed, beheaded by, I think, the Taliban. And somehow or other, I thank God I'm not desensitized to seeing someone murdered, you know, like on video, basically. Wow, man, I'm making this heavy. I apologize. but yeah, like, we're going to deal with, like, shootings and, you know, like, innocent people being shot and even cops being killed, you know, because I don't think that's right either. You know, I'm not entirely on the side of the police in this matter right now, at least the individual police officers that are involved. But I'm not anti-cop. I'm not anti-law or anti-order. I just want some kind of responsibility for a person's actions, and I want people to think before they react. You know, like, there's no reason why things like this should happen. There's none. There's none. You know, like, especially people that are unarmed, people that are complying for the most part, like the gentleman in Minnesota, Philandro Castile. He had said to the cops that he had a gun and he was trying to get his ID, and he got shot four times and died. Like, it's just, it's not right. You know, it's the opposite of justice, I think. You know, and I don't know, well, you're a military guy, so I'm sure you have a different take on it, but I don't know what the reason for people dying is, you know, like, it just like, I don't understand how ISIS is, you know, attacking other Muslims at their holy land, you know, like in Medina, you know, like, I don't understand why people are being killed in the street, you know, by our own people, you know.
Well, like, you said that, you know, because of my, my military background, I might have a different take. It's kind of like, we're all the blind men surrounding an elephant. And we reach in to touch the elephant, and we each have a different perspective on what the elephant is, even though, you know, it's still the same creature. So I think that we can all come together as a people and say, you know, instead of just screaming out, you know, oh, it's a massive beast or it's a snake.
Yeah.
Talk about what we've encountered and reach a mutual understanding of what the elephant is. And that's, yeah. And that is where a civilized society should venture toward, instead of knee-jerk reactions and emotional responses. But I think it's really cool that the book is going to deal with the kind of collateral damage that you see a lot of times in superhero stories, because a lot of times those writers will gloss over it. I've seen very few instances of it being dealt with. Most recently, in the last year or two, Valiant Comics did a really great job with a city being destroyed in Mexico, and it reverberated through a lot of their books. So I think to have Stray tackle that on more of a personal level, more Daredevil level than like Avengers, and actually right. interact with the public when collateral damage happens. That's intense. That makes for really great storytelling.
Yeah, it's, you know, one of the things that we, Sean and I, had always said was that our book will always reflect the world we see around us, you know, which is why we have more than a few gay characters in our book. We have more than a few characters of color. You know, like, we don't want to make the story about pardon the phrase, white guys doing white people things. You know what I mean? Like, we want to do something that is important to us, you know, that that matters, you know. It's very easy, I think, for readers to look at Stray and go, well, it's just another white guy in a mask, and kind of dismiss it as that. But, I think when we're tackling stuff like this, we really do want to kind of take comic books and superhero comic books specifically to a different level of discourse, you know, where we want people to talk about what we're doing, you know, in the context of what they're living. We're going to deal with, I don't know if it's irresponsible, if you want to call it a responsibility, but we're going to deal with, you know, innocent people being killed for no reason, you know, and Stray trying to come to a solution for that. And the thing is, you know, like, and Sean and I were talking about the book today. It's issue 4 and 5 is when we really get into it. You know, issues 1, 2, and 3 set it up, but issues 4 and 5 really get into it. And what we came up with is there's no easy answers. You know, like, there's only going to be temporary fixes. You know, just because, like in America today, you know, like, there's going to be a lot of things said. There's going to be a lot of tears shed and a lot of people, you know, suggesting different ways to make this stop. But come November, I don't even think that we're going to have a solution yet. You know, like, come November and come the next 4 years even. So it's again, we don't want to shy away from telling the tough stories. You know, I feel like I once recommended to Ray Anthony Height for Midnight Tiger. Almost literally, these were the words I said. I said, we need to put Gavin, who's the titular Midnight Tiger, we need to put his blackness in front of everybody. Because the thing about Midnight Tiger, it's beautiful design, fantastic book. It's about a black teenager in a bad neighborhood, basically, in a bad city called Apollo Bay, where crime is just running rampant. And Ray, I don't mean to speak for Ray, but Ray and I are really close, and so I feel like I can say this. But Ray is basically drawing upon his youth growing up in Compton, you know, like during the 80s and 90s when, you know, drive-by shootings were a way of life. And so he's basically drawing upon that, literally and figuratively, drawing upon that for story fodder, you know, like for to tell his stories. And so I said, we need to put Midnight Tiger's blackness right in front of everybody. And I said, the thing I'm suggesting is on the cover of your next issue, which unfortunately hasn't come out yet, so it probably wouldn't work now, but I think it could still work in light of what we're still living with, you know. It was right on the heels of Trayvon Martin being killed. And I said, put Midnight Tiger in a hoodie that says, and him just saying, don't shoot, with his hands up. And it was going to happen. I don't know that it won't happen still, but I feel like, you know, comics, people, I said something today on Facebook that, like, I don't understand how to help, you know, I want to help, you know, and, like, people will see that I have, like, fair skin, but I'm Puerto Rican, so I'm a minority. And I grew up as a minority, and I have an Italian name, but I've lived in the bad side of town, you know, like, where, and I say the bad side, but I mean the poor side of town. It's just what everybody considered the bad side of town. You know, like, I walk by hookers and pimps every morning to work, to school, I'm sorry. And I know what it's like to live in the inner city, you know, in some respects. You know, New York City during the 80s, that was the Wild Wild West, man. You know, like, even on Staten Island, which is as remote from New York at that point as you can get. And again, like, we have a phrase, you know, amongst a couple of friends of mine that are kind of fair-skinned and stuff. We pass for white is what we call it. And I, you know, but I feel everything that they're going through. My older sister, she's about 2 years older than me, a little bit, a couple months, maybe more than that, but not much. She had a black father, so she's black. So she has to deal with that on both sides. So growing up with her, I've always felt more, not a part of the black experience in America, but I felt it. You know what I mean? Like, I was there firsthand, you know, seeing it, how it affected my sister and other members of my family. And it's tough. I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, and I'm trying to figure out how to get them ready for this world. And I don't want to. Not this world, you know, like whatever the next one is, you know, whatever we can do to get past this, you know, whatever. I that's what I want to get them ready for. This on Facebook today, and someone said, well, you know, because I was like, I don't know how to prepare for a Kickstarter when this is going on. And they said, well, you know, we always use comics as an escape. And I said, we should not escape from this. This is not the time to get away and turn our eyes away. This is the time we have to look. And that's what I feel that we're going to do with Stray, is we're going to force people to look. Like, we're going to hold their heads still and just go, we need to face this all head on, and we need to answer these questions and stuff. And the solution that we come up with is a really, really kind of temporary solution. But, you know, we're creating a world where, you know, we're going to start reflecting our own real world, and we want people to know that at any given moment, just like our world, you know, some lunatic can walk into a Batman movie showing and start shooting up for no reason. You know, like, that's the world. I mean, we never want to make Stray an adult comic, a mature reader comic. You know, we want it to be as accessible to everyone as possible. But we don't, just like with Action Live Dog of Wonder, we don't want to shy away from actual issues that pertain to these worlds, these stories.
Well, the good thing is, we've seen time and time again that by totally cutting off children and people of all ages from a tragedy can oftentimes limit their ability to handle those types of situations when another one occurs. So by actually bringing that discourse into as many people as possible, you know, Stray can help deal with those things on a level that people can handle and can approach and feel a type of safety as they're talking about it. So that's very, very cool.
That's the hope. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's by doing stuff like that, you're taking your unique skill set and actually, bringing that out so that people can sit down and have that conversation, so that that elephant doesn't stay strange to everybody and we can start dealing with it. Now, speaking of dealing with things and using comics as a medium for change, can you talk a little bit about the Twitter campaign that led up to the Kickstarter?
Yeah, almost even a year ago, I think I got the numbers for Stray, and I wasn't very pleased with them. And looking at the numbers, I was, you know, talking with Action Lab and just saying, you know, what is the likelihood that we will be canceled if we try to do another series? And, you know, I don't think they came out and said it, but, you know, it was very likely. You know, it's very likely that we couldn't make another Stray. And they were like, well, you should probably think about doing another Kickstarter. So the original idea for the Kickstarter was we were going to do the trade paperback, we were going to do a hardcover version of the trade paperback that no one has seen, which would be, we'd have the cover gallery, the pinups that no one's seen yet. It would have a director's cut for every issue instead of just the first, the handbook, some sketchbook stuff from Sean, and an introduction from Mark Wade. So we wanted to put that out, and we started pricing it out, and Action Lab, you know, they were going to offer us the books, but the books were just so expensive, it just became price prohibitive. So they said, well, why don't you figure out how you can do the book for, you know, like creatively for less, which is a sad, you know, thing altogether, because no one wants to get paid less than, you know, their worth, you know, but like, they're like, if you could figure out a way to make it for less and we can launch a Kickstarter for volume 2, you know, the ongoing, maybe that would be the best way to do it. So the idea that, like I was saying to you guys beforehand, you know, so our goal is for $5,000, and then every $5,000 we make will basically pay for another issue. So we were like, all right, cool. So I kind of got a little abandoned ship, red alert, that kind of thing. And I was like, well, we need people to really start getting behind the book now and like understanding that we want to, you know, keep making these books, you know, like, and I even got to a point where I was like, I'm canceling everything. And I forget who it was. It might've been Charlie McKelvey. He said, well, why do you want to cancel everything? And I said, because I've done the perfect story. Like, I don't have to do any more Strays. Like, that first miniseries is perfect in that it establishes the character. He jumps, on the last page, he jumps into action, and you just assume he's been in action. He's in action. You know, like, you don't have to read anything more. Actionverse just established that he is in a world that action happens. So he doesn't have to really do anything else. And we were maybe for a couple of days in a week, or maybe even for an entire week, we weren't doing a next Stray issue. We were done. Sean and I actually started coming up with ideas for another project. One of them was, I'm going to say it only because we might never get a chance to do it, but like hopefully we do. One of them was a modern retelling of the Creature from the Black Lagoon. You know,
take my money.
Yeah, I'd like that.
But yeah, especially with Sean's art, you would, you know. So yeah, we were thinking about doing something like that, and then, you know, Action Lab, the guys at Action Lab just sat us down and go, this is our idea. You know, if you do this and you raise this money, we can basically use that money to pay for the production and then use the funds from the actual first issue to pay for the production of the second issue and then the third issue and stuff like that. You know, so, you know, we were like, all right, well, that, you know, if we can just, you know, keep that going, and who knows, again, like, and that's all dependent on sales. So if the actual sales to the retailers and, you know, to the direct market are low, then the book gets canceled and it makes less money, then we can't make any more books, that kind of thing. So that's why it's important for us to kind of overfund this one as much as possible so that we can get ahead. So at the very least, if we can tell the first five stories that I, you know, involving everything that I want to tell, I'll be very happy. And again, like, I will do another Kickstarter and come hat in hand asking for money again for issues 6 through 20. And then, you know, like, if we only fund 4, then issue 10 through 20, you know, just keep, you know, I'll keep doing Kickstarters if I have to. I don't want to, but if I have to, I will.
Well, if you look at the numbers of what you have again, now, it's only been a couple of hours and you're already halfway there.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. but going back to how Rescue the Stray started, that was it. Like, I was like, I don't want to see this die. So we started telling everybody, you know, like, get ready for Rescue the Stray. Get ready for the next iteration. You know, we're going to push this hard. And then at some point, I wanted to do something with charity. And if you read Dog of Wonder, Action Lab Dog of Wonder, we have this column done by Mitzi Bolaños, who works for Stubby Dog Project. And she does this article. It's basically, you know, like, how do we approach kids with the serious nature of what being a pet owner is, you know, like, without, by making it fun and stuff. So we have the comic, and then Mitzi comes in with kind of like a very simple, you know, this is how we answer kids in this response. And, you know, she's an expert. You know, she did a TED Talk a couple of months ago, so she knows what she's talking about. So she's been doing these columns for us and stuff, and they're wonderful. And I said, you know what, I really want to basically get cross-pollination from, you know, Stubby Dog, you know, the people, if you look at Stubby Dog Project on Facebook, they've got like 70,000 people, I think, that like the page. So that's 70,000 pet owners that really care about dogs and stuff. So I said, what if, and I approached her, I said, what if we did a t-shirt that was exclusively for charity, where we rate all the money that we raise from selling the t-shirt goes directly to Stubby Dog. She was behind it 100%. And what charity wouldn't be, you know? So we did this this design, which is Stray and a bunch of puppies, and it says Rescue the Stray under it. And we've sold a couple already, you know, like, you know, we sold more than, last time I checked was last week, we sold 6 within, like, the first 4 days of the month. So, you know, whatever it takes, you know, I want to give myself a chance to really get out there and, you know, let people know about the book. So that's the first phase. And then the next phase will be when the book is solicited in Diamond, you know, in previews. you know, everybody that didn't back the Kickstarter, you know, there's a bunch of people that don't know me on Facebook, that read comic books, that don't know me on Twitter. And the idea is, let's get them to feel good about buying the book. So I'm going to donate my royalty, because now, you know, like the new deal with Action Lab, I have a better royalty now. I'm going to donate my entire royalty check to another charity. You know, so hopefully people are like, all right, well, let's, you know, the other hope is that people that back the Kickstarter will also back that and pre-order it at their comic store just to help raise this money for charity. You know, so that is the goal. You know, it's just, I want to keep doing, I'm a big charity guy. Weirdest thing today is like everyone posting about the Stray Kickstarter saying Vito is a nice guy, Vito is a great guy, and I'm like, am I? I didn't really know this. You know, like I'm just a guy that just wants to improve the world around me. You know, kind of like Stray in the new series. Like, I just want to improve the world around me. How do I do that? You know, like, and if it's giving money to charity, then yeah, sure, why not? I'm not opposed. You know, I would love to see other comic book creators start doing the same thing. You know, like, there's no money in comics. We all know this, but like, you know, whatever you have, like, even if it's, look, man, if I make $100 for Stubby Dog, they're not going to turn me down. They're not going to, like, turn it away. They're going to say thank you, you know. So $100, $50, whatever it is, you know, like, just, you know, if you start giving to charity and, like, you feel good about yourself, you know, number one. But number two, you might make a new fan out of it, you know, like, that will now follow you wherever you go. Like, I don't know, again, like, today's a weird day, man. Like, but I got so many people adding me on Facebook today, like new friend requests and stuff. It's kind of ridiculous.
Feels good though, doesn't it?
I'm not complaining. Yeah, I'm not complaining. You know.
But I mean, did you see an increased reach with the Twitter campaign that was associated with Save the Stray?
Well, yeah, that was Thunderclap. Thunderclap. You have to get a minimum amount of people to sign up to do it. And we said our, and the minimum you can do is 100, and we got 111 people, I think, to do it. So the craziest thing was at 12 o'clock it launched, and it blew up my feed. Like it literally blew up my feed. It was just so many people. And like, you know, like I look at my Twitter feed and it was just nothing but the Stray Kickstarter, just like, you know, like all the way down. How I wasn't trending, I don't know, but like it's still really, really cool. And then, you know, I started getting notifications on Facebook as well. And it was just interesting, man. Like, did we reach like ultimate saturation and get like people that we didn't know on, you know, to back the Kickstarter? I don't know. You know, but, you know, I see a lot of familiar names. But also, what's crazy is I see a lot of names that weren't on the first one. You know, so that's a good thing. That I think is the best thing. So
we have nice. So we have the initial story arc being funded on Kickstarter right now, where Rodney is trying to escape the costume that Sean designed for him when he was a kid, which, by the way, is that picture of him standing there in the original series, you know, in my Superman pose, wearing the young Roddy costume. That was awesome. That was a great image.
Yeah, he's Sean is. I don't know how else to explain Sean to people, but. He's incredibly humble. Like most artists I know, he hates everything he does. You know, like,
I don't know anybody like that, right, Aid?
Good.
I hate everything I draw. Yeah, totally. It's terrible.
but like, you know, he's incredibly talented, and he's just getting better by the day. You know, like, I don't know if you saw on his Twitter feed, but he posted design work for another project he's working on. And it's a totally different style from what he's doing right now. And it's like, why aren't you drawing like that for my book? You know, but you know, and again, like, he's just incredible. He's just an incredible, incredible guy. And I love working with him. Like, it's so... it's so crazy to see his pages come in. Even like in like on the Kickstarter, we have initial layouts and stuff that he's going to ink at some point. But it's so crazy to like get those pages in, and like just like, your heart starts bumping again, and you feel like you're back at it. Like, you know, it's just like the greatest pair of shoes you ever had, you know, or you know, like the best girlfriend you ever had, and you're back together or whatever.
So you get that wild ride feeling all over again.
Yeah.
Spectacular. Now, how far out do you have plotted right now? Because I know you said that you had the initial story arc kind of in mind, but then after that, do you have something ready to go for when this goes big and wild?
We have 20 issues plotted. I mean, like they're as simple as like one sentence long, you know, but I know what those stories are.
Fantastic. And,
let's see. So 20 issues, we're going to be bi-monthly, so that is 4 years, give or take, you know, like 4 years, 6 issues a year. So yeah, it's just a little under 4 years. So, I mean, after that, you know, like, yeah, I'll never do another one again. Maybe I say now, but like, I know that there are three big storylines I want to do, and we're only going to get to do one in those 4 years. And that's the thing that, you know, that makes me want to stop doing Stray, is that, all right, let's stop doing it as a monthly or a bi-monthly and stuff and just do the work on our own and then trade paperback. Because I want to do these stories, and doing it where it's bi-monthly is kind of prohibitive to the idea of keeping momentum and keeping excitement, you know, but I'll take it wherever I can get it. You know, like I'll do the book as long as I can, you know, like I don't have any other work going on in comics, you know, like that can take me away from this. You know, it's not like I'm getting DC money or Marvel money or anything. I'm enjoying myself, so I'm not going to turn it down. And Sean is very excited now that he's written one issue of Actionverse. Now he wants to write more. So like, let's have him write more Stray.
Nice. Now, those of us who follow you regularly on social media know that Stray isn't the only place you're dipping your toe. Recently, we've seen hinting artwork at some World War II stuff, but we also have some interesting stuff coming out talking about New York-based superheroes. Can you talk a little bit about that?
The New York one is called New Brooklyn Universe. It's for Lang Baku. That is a free app you can download pretty much anywhere in the world. And it's a weird kind of new way to read comics, where you scroll like you do on your Twitter feed, you know, like you go up and down instead of like left to right. And so it's, you know, panel to panel. And Dean Haskell is doing the Red Hook right now as part of the New Brooklyn Universe. And the concept is that Brooklyn, it sounds so cheesy, but it's a very, the way I look at it is, this is basically Jack Kirby doing comics again. Like, Brooklyn gets her heart broken, and so she separates from the country, specifically from New York City. And it's about, what does that mean for Brooklyn? You know, when you're basically separated from the rest of the world, where do you go? Like, what do you do? And what happens is, there's a proliferation of costume characters that pop up, Red Hook being one, the Brooklynite being another, and my book, The Purple Heart, is about the avatar of Brooklyn, the person that speaks for the heart of Brooklyn, and it's being drawn by Ricardo Venancio, who is based out of Portugal. I must love working with foreign artists, because he's amazing. I wish there was a way to show you some artwork from it without putting it online, you know, like through the Hangout, but maybe I'll show you guys after everything's done. But like, you guys would like, it's basically what's his name, the guy that did Akira, Otomo. It's basically like Otomo's artwork and Paul Pope's artwork melded together and had a beautiful little baby called Ricardo. but it's beautiful. It's heartbreaking in some spots. It's scary. Like, there's a horror film in there as well. You know, there's a romance, and it's a. I just reread the scripts. What's today? Today is Thursday. Yeah, so I just reread the scripts on Monday. Like, the entire 26 chapter story, and I'm really impressed with the work I did. Like, and I don't impress myself at all. Like, I think I'm, you know, I think I'm a fair writer. You know, like I don't particularly think that I am. I think that I could work for Marvel and DC, but I don't think that I am the kind of guy that they look for. Like, I'm the kind of guy that they accidentally happen across, you know, like, or whatever, you know. But, like, and you've heard me, my humility is kind of sickening on this show, I guess. But, so I reread it, and I was just thinking, well, this is unlike anything I've ever written. It is a very complete story. Like, it beginning to end, it's a ride, you know. It's not like a thrill ride, because there's a lot of times you just have to kind of take the book, and like, it's not all action. It's a lot of like introspection. It's very much like the Silver Surfer in that respect, where it's a lot of like, what am I doing, you know, like, kind of not emo stuff, but, you know, just kind of, you know, like, there's a lot of thinking that is involved in what's going on. But, like, I think if you stick through it and you read it the entire way, it's very satisfying. And it reminds me, like I was saying the other day, it reminds me of, like, Jim Starlin comics from the 70s, you know, or Steve Englehart from the 70s. You know, and like, I barely read any of that stuff as a kid. You know, like I was more Chris Claremont, you know, than anything. And so reading that, you know, not reading, but like writing this and then like looking at it and just going, oh, wow, that's weird. You know, like, that's so like, there's a meta-textual thing going on where Dean Haspel, because he lives in Brooklyn, is in this story. You know what I mean? Not like as a major part, but he was in the background. You know, like, he lives in Brooklyn, so of course he's going to be in the background. Like, he's just, it's just his neighborhood. So there's a really fun kind of like look, and you'll find things like that throughout. But it's a really, really I'll give you another way to sell it. For me to sell you on it. He's a black kid that has come back from war, in a modern setting. I think we say Iran, even though, like, right now there's a threat of war with them, but there's no kind of like actual war with it. So he's really dealing with a little bit of PTSD. I say a little bit. There's no such thing as a little PTSD, you know, but. The idea was that he was always trying to escape. Always trying to escape. Not so much the military, but he was always trying to escape Brooklyn. You know, he just trying to get away. And one of the ways he tried as a kid was he tried to be a rapper. He might not have been very good. And but the thing is, you know, Brooklyn values art and creation over death and killing. And so we get to a point where he just starts rapping. And so I had to write those, which it's funny but they're actually not that bad. And I'm not thinking that I have a career in hip hop or in music at all, but I was very pleased with the way they turned out.
So at some point, do we get another show going and have people show up to have you demonstrate some of these rap lyrics that you've thrown down?
As long as you don't have me battle them, I get the feeling I'm going to have to record them, which is scary in and of itself. So you might end up hearing these things.
Nice. Now on the app, if people go to the app now and you know, Twitter style, start reading comics, what's on there right now? Like, which story are they featuring right now, or can you jump between the different ones?
Well, the Red Hook is in chapter 14 right now. I think yesterday chapter 14 came out, so it's just a little bit over halfway. They run for 26 weeks, so the Red Hook is just a little bit over halfway. July 27th is when the Purple Heart starts, and I think you start off with the first three chapters, so that's kind of fun. So you're already immersed in it when we start. Brooklynite will be coming out, I think, in November, maybe October, around New York Comic Con. But there, the other stories that are up there, there's one that I just read. There is a competition with Stan Lee, Stan Lee's company, I think, POW Entertainment or something, or Stan Lee Media, I forget which one. And it's called The Bad Guys, and it's actually kind of clever and kind of fun. I like it. There's a Star Wars that is completely licensed and authorized. That is very, very weird and interesting because it's almost like it doesn't adapt the movies, the original trilogy. It's almost like it runs concurrent with it. Excuse me. Even though you're following Luke and Leia and Han and everything, it almost runs concurrent with what we already know from the original trilogy. So that's kind of fun. And there's a bunch of other things. There's like the weirdest thing is that, you know, this is a Korean company that is behind this, so a lot of it is manga, and there are literally a million readers on this thing, like a million. Like that's more than read American comics. That's insane, you know. So it's almost like I might end up getting a bigger audience than I've ever had on a 26 chapter, 5-page. Chapter 5-page for each chapter story that people look at panel to panel. I might have more readers than I'll ever get, you know. So it's exciting. It's a little nerve wracking because it's an American comic, you know, and it's also done American style. It's a superhero comic, you know. Like that's not what they read over there, you know. So it's a big leap for Line Webtoon, but also for you know the guys that are doing it, like me and Dean and Seamus and Ricardo. So we'll see.
That's amazing. Have you ever thought about doing manga-style comics?
I have a manga that I want to do that I can't do right now because of a book that Action Lab puts out called Nutmeg. It's got a very similar premise in that, you know, it's about these two girls that start a bakery. The less said about it from there, the better. But because Nutmeg is about two girls that are, you know, baking things and, you know, trying to eliminate competition within high school. It's not like they have their own bakery. The parallels will be too easy to draw between the two, so I don't really want to step on James and Jackie's toes. Even if I don't do it with Action Lab, I think having one of those out right now until it's at least close to being done, I think having one of those types of stories out right now is best instead of, like, trying to flood the market with all kinds of cooking comics, you know, like, so. But I do have a manga in mind, yeah.
If you include the recipes, it, you know, you
that's what they do, and that's what we want to do as really? Well, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, they have recipes in every issue. It's kind of cool.
Oh, that's kind of like, Zeb's comic, Skull Kickers. He used to include character sheets in the back for people who play like Dungeons and Dragons and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's pretty wild.
Yeah, we Action Lab has another book called I Mage that has something like that as well. It's and then they had a book called Archon that came out last year that the back matter of the book was kind of like a DM's guide, you know, like, so like you can take your friends on the adventure by reading, you know, like, so it's like the Dungeon Master, you know, like his sheet, you know, like you got to read all this. But like, yeah, like I like stuff like that. I like that kind of immerse yourself into these worlds that people are creating. And that's kind of what we're doing with the Golden Guard as well, you know. So like we're going to have like a full Golden Guard campaign in the back of each book. So
can you talk a little bit about Golden Guard? Cause I mean, we've seen some of the artwork. Absolutely. On Facebook, and it's gorgeous.
Yeah. Golden Guard is basically the collaboration of myself, Carlos Caballero, who has done a couple of things for Thrillbent, but he's mostly is known for his sketch cards for Rittenhouse. He's just finished doing a Star Wars one that looks absolutely beautiful, and a Justice League one that's I gotta get I got to get my hands on a box of these things because they're incredible. But it's a kind of owned by all three of us, and excuse me. It's about a Golden Age team that through mystical means finds themselves in the present. Not all the members make it to the present. Some of them stay behind. And so there's a little bit of a disconnect between what happened then and what happened now. How are they here? Apparently, some of them go back at some point in the near future, and they end up dying. And so it's about how we deal with their deaths, how they deal with knowing they're going to die if they go back. There's a character who's gay that gets killed in front of a like in a gay bar, but he doesn't realize he's gay. You know, like he's not come out of the closet. You know, so he doesn't realize he's gay yet. There's a black character that he gets lynched in the 60s. You know, like, so like you have like these really you know severe kind of deaths for these guys. One guy dies in Vietnam. You know, so they're like, well, why would we want to go back? You know, like it, like we're here now. And like you're telling me things are better now, and you know, and it's and things aren't better. So it's about how they deal with that kind of not culture shock, but that kind of being anachronistic, you know, to what is going on today. And like, are they going to stay? Are they going to go back? And then the other side of the story is there's a bad guy, you know, like it's a superhero comic. So there's a bad guy that is trying to destroy the world that was a part of the Nazis' plan back in the 40s, and now he's back. So it's basically my version of the JSA. It's basically me trying to expand the history of the Stray universe. Although this is not necessarily Actionverse, because Action Lab is not publishing it. It's going to be purely self-published by myself, Charlie, and Carlos. And we're going to really do a push at New York Comic Con because we think we're going to launch a Kickstarter either in October, November, or December. So, yeah, I'm asking for money again. but I think this is going to be one that people want it back as well, you know, and like... we're going to put out magazines instead of comics, you know, so they're going to be bigger. We're going to have, like I said, a role-playing element in the back of it. So, like, you know, 48 pages of comics and then 16 pages of RPG stuff. I think we're going to even have, like, we're trying to do this. Like, this is going to be crazy. But, like, we're trying to do pull-out maps and posters in the middle of the whole thing. So like you can actually pull it out and like put a map down and, you know, gameplay on that because it's going to be, you know, like desktop, you know, RPG, and then flip it over and you have a poster of the team or something like that, or of the villains or whatever. So, yeah, we're really getting into the idea of doing this like on our own, but also creating our own universe, but also kind of tying it in with WatchGuard and Stray and, you know, kind of making that world a little bit bigger.
I am scouring the couch right now for every bit of loose change I can find. So you watch it, we will come.
Yeah, I would say, you know, look for it either October, November, or December. You know, we don't want to take away from Christmas shopping or anything like that, but I think with New York Comic Con happening in October, we're going to have a presence there as a team in Artist Alley, so we kind of probably want to launch roundabout there, you know, or at least advertise that we're going to launch, you know, the next month and then start, you know, doing like crowdfunding then and then really get into it, you know. And the thing is, we are being completely transparent. We're telling everybody, look, we're going to take 9 months out of the year from the time we fund to the time we're done making it. And hopefully by the time, you know, like 9 months to get it to you. But, you know, we're going to tell everybody, you know, we're going to make this and we're going to do it, you know, step by step. You're going to be a part of our process. And then 12 months after the first Kickstarter, we're going to launch the second Kickstarter to do the next book. And then, you know, possibly do that, you know, every year, you know, just I like the idea of having a Kickstarter every year. But I like the idea of also taking my time and putting together a book slowly and surely. And, Two other things about that is that it's already written, so that's going to be worked on relatively shortly. But the other thing is that if you back it from the time it is completed in terms of, like, you know, the crowdfunding campaign, every week you're going to get a free comic from us. Like, it's going to be one page of a bigger comic called The History of the Golden Guard, so you know exactly who these characters are before we launch into the actual book, before you get the book. So you're going to get a digital comic every week through your email. You know, like, you're going to get a PDF, and, you know, it might be something where we give you a page at a time, or we host it up online and then give you the PDF afterwards, you know, once the whole thing's completed, so you can read it all in one shot. But yeah, it was another thing when we said, you know, we want to make sure that, like, we don't do a Kickstarter and then 9 months later come back to nothing. You know, like, where you're like, well, I guess you're off making a comic. No, we want you to see that we're making a comic. So we're going to give you a lot of stuff, you know, so. And we're going to, and the other thing about that is the way I'm doing the Stray Kickstarter now is we want to keep the rewards simple. We don't want to go overboard in terms of, like, what we can send and what we can offer. We just want to offer the magazine, the digital. I think we're going to do a patch, like a sew-on, iron-on patch. And I think we might have a 3D printed figure as well.
Cool.
For that one, just like we're doing with the Stray.
Aid, you a big fan of the 3D printed characters?
Well, anything. I love that kind of thing. Yeah, I'd say I'd love to have seen the action figure from the covers. Obviously, like, his little Stray action figure would be marvelous. So,
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. No, I was gonna say, like, my dream is to have a Stray superpowers action figure, but that's never gonna happen.
I used to love those from back when I was a kid, the superpowers line, like the Justice League characters.
Mm.
I think I had Superman. I just remember that being like the coolest figure back then.
We never got many.
Yeah, I don't. You never got the superpowers line?
No, we had the Secret Wars figures, but we didn't have the superpowers figures.
Are you aware of the Amazing Heroes action figures that are done on Kickstarter?
Nope.
Yeah, those are
pretty
cool.
I'm going to have to introduce you to that. we had a Stray version that was one of the rewards I got from back in the book. I got a Stray kind of like a customized figure that's in that Secret Wars type of
cool.
scale. I really, really... You know, like, I was really hoping to get, like, a superpowers one to go into my Batmobile, but I'll take this one for now.
That's awesome. The You guys had a big, like, a model, like a 3D model made of Stray, didn't you, during the last Kickstarter?
Yeah, it's a little disappointing because it looked great from afar. And, you know, the sculpt came out great. I'm not going to complain about the sculpt. But the painting on it is kind of, it is what it is. You know, I wouldn't say it's terrible, and the colors are right, at least. But it doesn't, you know, kind of clean and clear and kind of polished, I guess is the word I'm looking for. So to me, you know, like, if that were the case, you know, like, I would be proud to do it again. So what we're doing is with the minifigure that we're 3D printing in this one is we're leaving it, you know, uncolored so that you can paint it yourself. You know, because I think that if we had done that with the first one, it would have looked a lot better, you know.
Right on. So, like I was saying earlier, we're looking at about halfway there in just a few hours for your Kickstarter. And if you go to Kickstarter and search Stray the Ongoing, you can find it. Go ahead, Vito, please. Mm-hmm.
I was saying we're at 22:18 right now, and it's only been 5 hours.
And so, yeah, that's
like I said, we're only asking for 5,000. So this, I guess you could say.
Nice. There's a lot of good stuff to look at on the actual page. You have amazing Stray running at the viewer image. That just looks fantastic.
Is that the one with Sam running next to him?
Yes, sir.
That is done by Phil Cho, who will be doing the first arc. Like, so I wanted people to see his artwork so you knew exactly what you were getting. It's basically, he's doing all the flashback stuff. And since the book is predominantly a flashback, then you're going to get a lot of Phil Cho artwork. So Yeah, it's funny. People are like, "Oh, is it going to be a cartoon?" And I'm like, "I can't make that decision. That is not my that is not my bailiwick. You know, like that's somebody else's choice. You know." But we also have like 4 pages that are again like you know work in progress. You know, that are all layouts and that are completely lettered, so you can actually read the first 4 pages now, even though they're not done. And then you know you look at the reward strip. It's pretty self-explanatory. I'm always available to answer questions and stuff. There's script consultation by me, which I don't know why anybody would want, but I think somebody backed it already. Yeah. But the thing I keep telling everybody is, you know, there's a lot of really cool rewards, but the coolest one is the big reward, which is Sean works exclusively digitally on the book. Like he does everything in Manga Studio. So he's going to do a wraparound cover in full ink, you know, like traditional style, for one lucky backer. Wow,
that's cool.
You know, and I hope somebody gets it. Yeah, he doesn't work that way. That's the best part. It's just like, you know, if you look at the image that he has there to kind of advertise the idea of what this could look like, it is incredible. Like, it is the two-page splash from Action Verse number 5, where Stray wakes up and everybody's a zombie. And although these events don't happen in the pages of Actionverse, it was a dream that Stray was having. And it's just a beautiful piece, you know, beautiful page. So, like, again, I think anybody that gets this is going to be very happy with what they get. And that'll be the wraparound cover for the trade.
Cool. That's fantastic. Yeah, it's, oh, God, so much gorgeous art on this. I think the great piece, though, is the you have the pages where they're laid, they're plotted and kind of like sketched, but then you, mm-hmm. you have the actual text for the pages there. So, but you can see where the action is going to go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
gorgeous, absolutely.
Again, like, these are the things that were getting me excited when Sean sent them to me.
Anything to add, Aid? I'm sorry, Vito. Go ahead.
No. That's it. Like I said, I'm just excited to work with Sean again. So,
Aid, did you have anything to add?
Oh no, I mean, I'm interested to see where the story was going to go because I obviously didn't know anything about it until just now. So, it's quite cool that you guys have kind of managed to touch on the kind of that real world issue thing that DC and Marvel used to do quite a bit of, or at least a lot of people used to do of in the 70s and 80s. Obviously now it's let's produce another movie character, but yeah, it's nice to see something like that go along instead. So it's really cool.
I think, you know, the other thing, too, is, you know, without without disparaging DC and Marvel too much about this kind of thing, I think the thing about them not doing this kind of stuff, because I think they do to a smaller extent, you know, like sometimes it's they try and then, like, they do it wrong, you know, and the internet calls them out for, you know, trying to do a transgender character. That kind of thing, and Batgirl. And it's like, well, they're trying, you know, like they're trying to, you know, do something for everybody. They're trying to increase diversity and stuff. And I think that's why they don't do that, and the fact that they're both owned by corporations that can't take a lawsuit, basically. But you know, we don't have that kind of corporate oversight, you know, like we don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. So we can take those kinds of risks. You know, like, and create our own comics. You know, anybody that makes their own comic can.
That's fantastic. It also leads to a wider base of storytelling, which is why we're seeing such a big surge in creator-owned comics, because people don't want to have that leash on. They want to run without the leash, and I think fans are responding. I mean, you're seeing all of these projects hitting Kickstarter. A lot of them are seeing funding. It's a fantastic time to be a comics fan because you don't have to be restrained by one type of hero or another. There's really something out there for everybody, and a lot of these indie creators are touching on things that the big two just really don't want to go toward, which is fantastic.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say that they don't want to go for it, you know, only because, you know, I know some of the editors and stuff, and they would love to get something like this out there, but it's tough, you know. Again, like, there's too much oversight, and I feel like, you know, for me, because there is no oversight, because it's basically, I mean, I won't say there isn't any oversight on Stray. There's a slight bit of oversight, you know, only, but it's never in terms of content. It's always in terms of make sure that your files are like this. Make sure you know they're this big. They're, you know, the colors are CMYK, not RGB, that kind of thing. It's not like oversight. Like, you can't tell that story, because that, I've never heard that.
That's got to be really freeing as a creator when you know that you can write the kind of stories that you want to write and get those stories out there to people.
Yes and no. I mean, it's freeing in that respect, yeah. But the other part is, if you have nothing to say and you're given a forum to say anything, you know, like, what do you do? You know, like, it's tough. You know, like, not everybody's built to be a writer, you know? Not everybody's built to be a good writer, even more, you know. So it's, you know, and I don't know that I am. I'm just saying that, like, it's a tough road to travel, you know, when you don't have anything to say. Like, if it were just, I'm gonna write stories about this guy beating up on this guy. Hey, more power to you. Everybody does that, you know. But like, I want to do a story where it's not about who you're punching. It's about why you're punching. You know, like, it's not about, like, I don't think anybody's ever called me out on this, but there's not a lot of supervillains in Stray. There's only one right now, you know, and if you count Actionverse, there's two. Three, if you count Mr. Macabre, who gets beat up on the subway in Stray number 3. But, like, there's not very many, you know, like, it's not like, and I'm trying to build that world to where you will see those types of characters more as we go along. But, like, you know, there's also a bigger thing that I'm building towards in Stray and in Golden Guard as well, you know, to that connects to both of them, you know. So it's a long road, and I hope people, you know, get behind the book and let us tell these stories, because, like, it's, I think if we get to do 50 issues, you know, you know what, if we get to do 20 issues, like I said, the 20 that we're plotting, I think people are going to be really impressed with the entirety of the story that we're telling, like, from beginning to end, like an omnibus type of thing, where you read everything, and you're just like, wow, that is epic, you know, like, I'm not a Joseph Campbell disciple, but I do know that he knows what he's talking about, and I'm going to tell that kind of Greek tragedy epic story, you know, if people give me the chance. So
awesome. So everybody go out immediately and bring your dogs with you. Mine's sitting right here looking at me begging to go out. bring everybody along, jump onto Kickstarter, find Stray the Ongoing, and it'll bring you right to the page. And please peruse this beautiful artwork. Check out the first few pages of the story that Vito lettered up, and let's get this thing launched so we can have issue 2, 3, and 20.
And, yeah, and if, you know, you guys are mostly in, wait, before you go?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Are we still there?
Yeah, we're still here.
Okay, I was going to say, like, before you go, like, I mean, you guys are mostly a gaming blog. You guys might not like comics. You know, some of your listeners might not like comics, but if you want to get behind our other campaign, which is to raise money for Stubby Dog Project, I don't know who doesn't like dogs. You can go to straycomic.threadless.com. We just have one design for you to pick out. You know, it's right there, all for charity. So, like, we would appreciate, you know, some eyes on that as well.
Absolutely. And we're going to take all the links that we talked about today, and we're going to put them right in the show notes so that we can further help these causes and, you know, get some more exposure for some of the stuff we talked about. Aid, any parting thoughts?
Nope, I've backed mine already. I backed mine during the podcast, so my $50 has already been pledged to you. So that, there you go, that's done. So
awesome.
Thank you very much, Aid.
And Vito, parting shots. Anything you want to throw out there before we call it a day?
Nope. Just hashtag rescue the stray, everybody.
Awesome. Get out there, grab your dogs, and run towards Stray. And with that, this has been Walt and Aid for the BAMF podcast. Vito, You're always very generous with your time. We know that with between Action Lab and you know having a real family, you know you time is probably it's probably precious. So we really appreciate you coming out to talk about this today. And with that,
my pleasure.
Awesome. With that, we're out.